Welcome to the Airport Gardens Baptist Church. This is Sunday morning, March 13, 1983. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we just pause this morning to thank Thee and praise Thee for allowing each one of us to be in Your house today. Lord, we pray for our homebound people who will listen to this service by means of this tape. We pray Your blessing upon them. Work out Your will, Lord, in each of their lives as they would look to Thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Peter, 2nd chapter, verses 19 through 25. And I'm going to read out of one of the Pew Bibles. And feel free to use them. They were placed there in memory of Brother Talman Barker. The page number for those Bibles is 1050, in case it's hard to find. It's hard for me to use these Bibles from using the others. But 1st Peter, 2nd chapter, starting with verse 19, ending through 25. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you are buffeted for your faults? you shall take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps, who did not sin, did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you are healed. For you were as sheep going astray, but now return unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this chance to gather here this morning. Thank you for the fellowship. We thank you, Father, for our Sunday school, the scriptures we studied. We pray, Father, that each one has received a blessing from your word so far. And as we go further into our service this morning, we pray that you would be with Brother James as he stands before us with your word. We thank you for this word just read. We pray, Father, that we could apply it to our lives, that we could use the example set forth by Jesus to be a witness to others around about us, that we have Jesus as our Savior, and we should be as much like him as humanly possible. We pray this morning, Father, for those who are mentioned that are on our prayer list, those others that are on our hearts that's not mentioned here today. We pray for them, Father, that you heal the sick, that you make the ones that are out in sin see their condition and cause them to turn to Jesus. Father, for those that are they're homebound this morning and cannot be with us, we pray, Father, that you will speak to them through this word as they hear the tapes, that they too, Father, would be comforted in thy word, and if there be any sick and sickness that cannot be healed, we pray, Father, that they would depend upon Jesus, because, Father, we know that all things are possible through him, and we're to ask, and if it's possible, Father, we know that the answer will be yes. Help us graciously to accept the answer no, or to wait a while. We pray again this morning for your blessings to be upon us. Help us to understand the word that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay, for our last hymnal, let's turn to page 246, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. Let's stand and sing the first and last verse, 246.
Through life has been mine. Tom and I were talking a while ago about what we was going to sing, and we was thinking about practicing on this a little bit, and I said, well, Francis is downstairs, let's draft her this morning. So he agreed, and then Debbie walked in. So we've got a quartet. And you know, I was just thinking this a few minutes ago. Back 10 years ago, more or less, this group that's up here right now was one, in one period of time, the original Gardeners. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches through
Certainly a wonderful song. Probably 95% of you all could stand up and quote John 3:16. It has in it the love of God. For God so loved the world, and that's you and me, humanity, that He gave His only begotten Son. He did something about our situation. He gave freely, willingly. He gave His only begotten Son. Why did He do this? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Without the Lord Jesus Christ this morning, you are perishing. And the songwriter said, rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We for the erring one, lift up the fallen. Tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Jesus today is certainly mighty to save. He hasn't lost an ounce of His strength that He had 2,000 years ago. Today we want to look at verse 21 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Is there a key verse today? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 21 says, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. Following Jesus. We'll certainly never go wrong following Jesus. In having the attitude that He had. In having a heart full of love that He had for people. So Peter tells us that the Lord left us an example that we should follow His steps. I don't know how many of you all have read the book entitled In His Steps. They have made a film from this book. And the pastor of a church, a big city church one time, the Lord just impressed on his life, his heart, to have everyone stay after church who would like to do and follow Jesus in their daily life, step by step, and following Jesus. In that city, there was a drastic change took place in many people's lives as they followed Jesus. The newspaper man, a Christian, he would not advertise any strong drink anymore. He lost a lot of business. He almost went bankrupt. But friends, following Jesus is always the best policy. Always. Follow Him. Following Jesus. Jesus, after He arose from the dead and visited with His disciples there in the upper room in John 20 and verse 21, it says, Jesus came in the midst and said, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. I love that song, Brother Tom. So send I you to labor unrewarded, to bear rebuke, to suffer. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Let's look to the Lord this morning before we look into the message. Our Father, we're grateful and thankful to Thee for each and every precious soul who is here this morning. Father, we thank Thee for each home represented. Father, we just pray that during this service that the wonderful Holy Spirit would be given freedom in my own life, in the life of each Christian, in the life, dear Lord, those that are here and are not saved yet. We pray that this would be a turning point in their life. that they would come to know the one who hung there on the cross for them, taking their place. Jesus, we know, Dad, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to thee. And Father, we just commit this service into your hands. We want only your will to be done, Lord, in this service. And every word that we say, may Jesus Christ be seen. We just thank thee for this beautiful day, Lord, that you have given us. And certainly as the songwriter wrote, what a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. Father, we know that any day is a beautiful day for the Lord to come again. And some beautiful, glorious day, the wonderful Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven with a shout. And we're going to rise to meet him in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Help each one of us, Lord, to be ready. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. First Peter 2:21 again says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I have an article here. I brought this with me today. Timmy gets this in the mail once a month. The Young Ambassador. The March issue told about the five missionaries in Ecuador, South America. January the 8th, 1956. Five missionaries. They had been flying down into the jungle there in South America and giving the natives gifts and trying to win their friendship. And you know, these five missionaries did not know that very soon all five of them would be with the Lord. They were following Jesus. As I read this morning, one of those missionaries' names was Jim Elliott. His overriding goal in life was to know God and to do his will regardless of the cost. At 21 years of age, he prayed this, "Lord, make my way prosperous, not that I achieve high station, but that my life may be an exhibit to the value of knowing God. Oh, Father, let me not be dissipated on non-essentials. God, preserve me from living a life which conforms to the general pattern. Give me firmness without hardness, steadfastness without dogmatism, love without weakness." And he said, "God, I pray thee, light these idle sticks of my life, and may I burn up for thee. Consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one." The Bible says he makes his ministers a flame of fire. Jim Elliott said, "Am I ignitable? God, deliver me from the dread asbestos of other things. Saturate me with the oil of the Spirit that I may be a flame." But flame is temporary, often short-lived. "Can't thou hear this? Can't thou bear this, my soul? Short life? In me there dwells the Spirit of the great, short-lived, whose zeal for God's house consumed him. Make me thy fuel, flame of God." At age 21 or 22, Jim Elliott wrote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose." 6 years later, at the age of 28, Jim Elliott, along with four other missionaries, lost their lives. They were following Jesus. following Jesus. There's two ways today, at least, we need to follow the Lord. One of them is in our walk. In 1 Peter 2:24 it says, talking about Jesus, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. We need to follow Jesus. That we should live unto righteousness. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it tells us, and that He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto Him which died for them and rose again. We need to be dead to sins and live unto righteousness. The psalmist said this about Jesus, I do always those things that please Him. Do we always do those things that please Him in our walk? The Bible tells us in John 19:17, and He, bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Jesus walked up Calvary's mountain, the way of the cross. The way of the cross leads home. The songwriter said, up Calvary's mountain one dreadful morn walked Christ my Savior. Weary and worn, He fell beneath the weight of that cross. One time we had a little dramatization here on crosses. Some wanted small crosses. They didn't want heavy crosses to bear. My friend, some of you gathered here this morning and some listening to this message by tape, you may be carrying a heavy cross. My friend, the Lord is able to help you. We need to deny ourselves and take up a cross daily and follow the Lord, Jesus said. Jesus walked up Calvary's mountain, and He, bearing His cross, went forth to a place called the place of a skull. Isaiah 53:5 says, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we're healed. That's just what 1 Peter chapter 2 says. That we should live unto righteousness by whose stripes we're healed. The greatest healing that anyone could have this morning is not necessarily the healing of this old body. Lazarus was raised from the dead there in John chapter 11, but he had to die again. The greatest healing that anyone could experience today is the healing of the soul. Jesus came to bind up the brokenhearted, to set the captive free. Our walk needs to point others to Jesus. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. How should we walk? You know, we can recognize anyone by their walk, by their physical walk. I remember going to get my dad one Sunday afternoon, and I saw him walking down the railroad, stoop-shouldered. They had just voted him out of the church as pastor. My dad was even taken to court during his preaching. But my dad was a man who suffered wrongfully, and he bore it with patience, as 1 Peter chapter 2 tells us we should. It says in verse 19, therefore, this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. That's what one of the Beatitudes says. It says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely. That's a very important word, falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. How should we walk? In Micah 6:8 it says that we need to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. We need to realize today whose we are and whom we serve. Romans 13 says it like this, let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chamber and wantonness, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make my provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We need to walk humbly. We need to walk honestly. Honestly. Has our walk progressing? Are we following Jesus today in our walk? Can anyone recognize us by our walk? Just walking down the street? Did anyone recognize us as a Christian? Then in Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16, I'd like to turn to those two verses there. Ephesians 5, 15 and 16. It says, see then that ye walk circumspectly. See then that ye walk circumspectly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This word, circumspectly, means that we need to walk cautiously, carefully. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. The title of this article on Jim Elliot and those other missionaries was, He is No Fool. He's no fool. Let me read what he said there at the age of 22. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We need to walk circumspectly. Not as fool, but as wise. And then Paul said in Ephesians 4 and verse 1, I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called. In verse 2, he tells us how to walk worthy, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. And this word forbear means to put up with each other. Forbear. One another in love. I believe sometimes it'd be good to recommit our marriage vows publicly. Love. A house where there's love, rather a house, I should say, without love is like a four walls without a roof on it. A house with love is a home. And my friend, I'm glad today that we can walk. We can walk humbly, honestly, circumspectly, and we can walk worthy. Back in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 is a wonderful verse. Paul wrote this, the last book he wrote before he gave his life there in Rome. 2 Timothy 2:4 says, No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. Whose soldier are you today? Whose soldier am I today? I'm glad this morning that the Lord is our hiding place, that our walk can be backed up by our talk. And that's the other way that we need to follow Jesus this morning, is by our talk. In Philippians 1:27, Paul said, "Only let your conversation," this also means conduct or manner of living, "be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel." Our walk and our talk needs to go hand in hand. There's a verse in Colossians 4 and verse 6 that Paul wrote, a wonderful verse here. Colossians 4, 6, about our speech, our talk. Colossians 4, 6, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man." Our talk. The book of James tells us that the tongue no man can tame, but God can tame it. I heard about a fellow who was saved, and he said, "When I got saved, I lost half of my vocabulary." The Lord gave him different words to say. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord gives us something else to say. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Our speech gives us away. My brother George graduated from Bob Jones University a few years ago. I called him after he'd been at school a few months. And you know, I hardly recognized his voice. He talked like people around him talked. Someone up in Indiana, Brother Tom, they come back and we think they are stuck up. They can't have it. We talk like people around us talk. And so, friends, our speech needs to be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how we ought to answer every man. Our speech gives us away. In Ephesians 4:32, verses 31 and 32, the last two verses of our message this morning. Ephesians 4:31 and 32, it says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." Now malice is, we have that word in chapter 2 and verse 1 of 1 Peter. "Wherefore, laying aside all malice." Malice is a word that has the meaning of hatred with the intent of getting at someone. So we need to put that away from us. "And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Don't hold a grudge. If I mistreat anyone or say something about anyone that I shouldn't do or say something about anyone, you let me know and I'd be glad to say I'm sorry. We need to be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I'm here to give out God's Word. And God help me to to give it out in the right attitude, the right frame of mind, that God's Word could lodge in some precious soul's heart and bring forth fruit unto eternal life. We need to live the life that we profess. There was a man and his son who had the same name. One was a doctor and one was a preacher. And someone called this place one day and they asked for this man. They both had the same name. And the fellow on the line said, which one do you want, the one who practices or the one who preaches? The son or the father? Which one do you want, the one who practices? That was the doctor. Or the one who preaches? The son. I said that to say this. We need to practice what we preach. Don't live some life in the four walls of the church and live any way we want to on the outside. God help us to live honestly, to walk honestly and humbly and circumspectly and worthy. Our key verse again says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." I saw a picture one time of one of these missionaries we read about. He was lying face down in the water with a big long spear sticking out his back. January 8, 1956. Did you know what? 27 years have passed. Every one of those connected with those five missionaries dead. All those Aka Indians are Christians who did the killing. They've all been saved. They didn't die in vain. They follow Jesus. And friends, follow the Lord today and this week. If you're here and lost, there's no better time than right now. At 12 noon, March 13, 1983. To trust the Lord. Come to Him today as we close our message before the invitation in a word of prayer. Father, we're grateful today for Your love and help us to share Your love this week with someone. Help us, as it were, Lord, to be fools for Christ's sake. Help us not to be the devil's fool, because we know he can lead no one except to hell. Father, we thank Thee for the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. In His name we pray. Amen. Our invitation song today is "Just As I Am." Without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me. Jesus gave His life, He shed His blood for you, as we stand to sing.